Hi, this is another podcast. I'm here with Ray Kurzweil today. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
Ray is a serial entrepreneur and is focusing on a number of projects at the moment. I'll let him briefly describe the main ones.
Well, we have a automated hedge fund. Can't say too much about that. We have a project company that is making a pocket-sized weighing machine for the blind. Ran things like object recognition, indoor navigation, and other pattern recognition features. We have actually a nutritional supplement company. We've got about 50 different products that help you implement the recommendations in the book that Dr. Terry Grossman and I wrote, Fantastic Voyage, Live Long Enough to Live Forever. We have, first of all, AI.net has about 1 million readers, and we have a daily newsletter. And we're making a movie based on my latest book, The Singularity is Near, which is called The Singularity is Near, a True Story About the Future. And it's an intertwined A-line documentary with a B-line narrative story that illustrates the ideas. So those are some of my key projects. We also mentor some small companies.
Okay. For the purposes of the audience I usually talk about, let's focus in on about that optical character recognition and talk about just, you know, AI and search engines and kind of your vision of the future of how that might develop.
Well, AI today is quite prevalent. It's narrow AI, but we do have software that does things that humans used to do and doing them at human levels and beyond, and there are hundreds of examples of this. Language translation is getting quite good. We have a prototype, actually I'll show that tonight also, of a translating telephone that combines speech recognition, speech synthesis, and language translation. So there's many examples of narrow AI, and the narrowness is going to get less narrow. And I have a whole scenario whereby we will capture all of human intelligence. By the 2020s, very inexpensive computers will be more powerful than necessary to simulate the entire brain. And we will have models and simulations of all several hundred regions of the brain through this grand project that's well underway of reverse engineering the human brain. We've already simulated 20 regions out of the several hundred that exist. So by the late 2020s, we'll have an understanding at a deep level, including models and simulations of all the different regions of the brain and how it produces intelligence. We will create machines that are intelligent at the human level, which will inherently be more than human intelligence because we'll combine our pattern recognition abilities with ways in which machines are already superior, such as the ability to transfer knowledge at electronic speeds and so on. And the primary implication, though, is we're going to merge with this technology. We're going to put it in our bodies and brains to keep us healthier and make us smarter, provide full immersion virtual reality from within the nervous system, and so on. And we're going to increasingly become non-biological ourselves.
One of the things that makes you unique as an entrepreneur is that you're melding the biological sciences and also, you know, some of the, you know, AI and other things where some people sometimes would spend their whole lives devoting it to one or the other but not seeing the intersection. Can you talk about how that came about and the advantages that it obviously has created for you and your creativity?
Well, it's got a number of different routes. I did decide to be an inventor when I was 5, and I quickly realized that timing was key to being successful. So I began tracking technology evolution and building mathematical models and found that I could predict certain aspects of the future, which belies the common wisdom that you can't predict the future. Things like the price performance of computing, it's extremely predictable, and it's not just Moore's law. This goes back 120 years, and you can track price performance of computing, but it also applies to anything where we can measure the information content, such as genetic sequencing or brain scanning and many other examples. So with these models, then, I could invent with the technologies of the future, with, say, computers circa 2025. Well, I can't actually build devices with them, but we can write about them. I can write about them. So that spawned, really, a series of books contemplating the future. And I saw that people really have a lack of understanding of the profound implications of this exponential nature of progress. People think linearly, not exponentially, and it makes a profound difference. So whereas my predictions may seem radical, and by the way, they've all tracked quite accurately going back several decades, that's really because exponential growth is radical. You take 30 steps linearly, you get to 30. You take 30 steps exponentially, 2, 4, 8, 16, you get to a billion. And that is the nature of the progression. We're doubling the power of these technologies every year. And we'll see a billion-fold increase, actually, in 25 years. I became interested in health because, well, I've always been impressed with the power of ideas. I've always had a personal philosophy that if you have a problem, you can find the ideas that will overcome that problem. And that really was the sort of personal philosophy of my family. And I developed type 2 diabetes. The conventional treatment made it worse. I decided to approach it as an engineer and an inventor and invented my own solution, wrote a best-selling health book about that. So that was the genesis of my interest in health, but it was not an information technology back then, because health and biology and medicine was not an information technology 20 years ago. That has been a great change. In fact, that's really the most profound revolution going on at the moment. Health and biology has now become an information technology, and we're understanding and modeling and simulating and reprogramming our biology the same way we reprogram our computers. And we have very outdated software running inside our bodies.
I think one of the other things you talked about earlier when I was watching you speak with a group was the timing and the importance of that in both predicting the future and being a really successful entrepreneur. Can you talk about the drivers of your beliefs of if you were mentoring somebody, what you would advise them to do?
Well, a key issue is, in fact, to study the timing and to really look at these models, which we do as a discipline. When we make a business plan or a technology development plan, we describe exactly what all the constituent technologies, communication, pocket computers, whatever it is, will be every 6 months, and then build our plan accordingly. So this pocket reading machine is a good example of that, and one of the reasons I'm demonstrating it tonight, because we realized in 2002 that would be feasible in terms of pocket computing technology in 2006. It really didn't look feasible. It's hard to remember now, but 2002, pocket computing and digital cameras were very crude, and it didn't seem like this would be a feasible application. But according to my models, it would be feasible in the spring of 2006. And it also appeared that it would take 4 years to develop the software. So we started in 2002. And that worked out very well. The hardware became available in 2006. The software project got done. We introduced it in the summer of 2006. And there's now, 1,000 blind guys and gals walking around reading the labels in their clothing and signs on the wall and so on. And other companies are noticing that this is feasible now. So we had a jump on the market because we could anticipate the future. And that's really a key issue. And somebody asked me this morning, with the acceleration of change, doesn't that make it difficult for entrepreneurs because your plan's constantly getting messed up with things changing? No, that actually, if you can master the timing, the constant acceleration of change provides ever more opportunities. I mean, it's a whole new generation of technology every year now, and with each new generation there's so many new opportunities to create killer products.
And then lastly, let's just close with the issue of what are some of the present predictions you have and are currently developing and things like that?
Well, I've got hundreds, maybe thousands of predictions. Well, hundreds, let's say.
Some of your personal favorites.
In my latest book, The Singularity is Near. But I breakfasted this morning with Philip Rosedale, and I think Second Life is a harbinger of things to come. Right now, people think it's so cute and interesting that you can actually do things sort of like real reality and virtual reality, and there's actually a commerce there, which is actually over $1 million a day. But that is just a harbinger of things to come. Imagine Second Life, where it's just as realistic as real reality. That's coming. In fact, auditorily and visually, that's only a few years away. And we'll add the tactile sense in due course. And there's so many advantages of virtual reality. For example, you can be someone else. In Second Life, you design your own avatar, so you design your body. Well, we have limited technologies like fashion and makeup to do that today, but you can go, do some, or plastic surgery, but so much more you can do if you live in a virtual world. And so I've talked about virtual reality with images written to your retina directly from your eyeglasses, and then the 2020s, the nanobots going into your brain through the capillaries. You want to go to virtual reality, they shut down the signals coming from the real senses, replace some of the signals your brain would be receiving if you were in the virtual environment, and then it feels like you're in that virtual environment. And you can be someone else. A couple can become each other and experience the world from the other's perspective. So this, you know, one of many things we'll see.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much for spending a few moments with us today, Ray. I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure everybody will enjoy hearing your thoughts. And
great.
I hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, enjoyed the conversation.